I would like to make an announcement this evening, and that is that our beloved Papa left his mortal body on July the 25th and is no longer with us in the physical form. I am filled with mixed emotions about this happening, because on one hand I feel filled with peace, with bliss, with great joy over the fact that he has been released from this physical body which was filled with pain. And on the other hand, I feel a deep personal loss. My sorrow knows no bounds over his passing. I've told many of you of many of the experiences that I've had with Papa during the time since I have met him. When I went to India, I went through an experience which was unique. The beginning of it was filled with wonder, with bliss, as I sat at his feet and listened to him pour forth all of the beauty of his oneness with God, his great love for God, his worship with God, of God. And then gradually, Father and I were built up in the Spirit until we went through this tremendous experience which I have described to you. I had great trouble with that because, as you know, I have been going through many things ever since that commenced. It was as though Papa started everything that has transpired of the Spirit in my life since that time. I had great difficulty understanding it because these experiences were tremendous. They were drastic. They took a tremendous toll physically, mentally, and spiritually. And yet I have come to see what a great service he did me. I have told you many times that our own Master saved my physical life, not once, but many times, and how deeply grateful I was for that. But now I have come to know that Papa Swami Ramdas was the means of saving my spiritual life. It was as though Master had provided the groundwork, the foundation, provided the inspiration, gave me the steadiness in the path, the love for God in him, and the love for God everywhere. And that Papa came and picked me up from there and lifted me into the arms of God. It was not an easy experience. And you see, I know with everything that was in me that he crucified me. He crucified the ego in order that the divine might live. And his love for me knew no bounds because he had no thought, no care for my body, for my mind in one way. It was only that he wanted my soul to live, to become purified, to be one with God. Still, while I underwent that experience, I saw the greatest evidence of loving kindness, of divine love and service that I have ever seen, that any man could see anywhere, because all of the needs that he could provide for both Father and myself physically were taken care of with the greatest of love. I always remember the day that I finally was able to go back into the bhajan room after I had been confined to my room for almost 4.5 months, unable to leave it. I had to be carried there. And I was seated alongside of it. And he looked at me with the sweetest smile on his face, one of infinite sweetness and love. And he said, "Rhonda is so very happy to see you again." I'm filled with deep regret that I have not been able to write to him more than I did. I was always going to do it tomorrow, but somehow God didn't let me. And it wasn't because I didn't love him. It wasn't because I didn't want to, but because God just seemed to fill every moment with the experiences which he was putting me through, with the demands that he made on me. And yet my heart was with Papa, and I loved him very, very greatly, because I see now how complete his surrender to God was in every single detail. One cannot be on constant call by all of God's children 24 hours a day with no moment of privacy for oneself and not live in complete surrender. The effect of his life upon the world cannot be estimated at this time. There are few indeed who were privileged to witness his extreme greatness in God. He had qualified in so many ways, you see, the same ways that the Christ called upon each man to qualify. He had become like a little child, and he had entered the kingdom of heaven. There is a story told in India about a man who had two sons, and he started out for a walk with them one day, and he held one son in his arm. The other son he held by the hand. As they walked along, all of them saw a kite floating through the air with a string attached to it. And the son who held his father's hand broke away and ran after the kite. But as he ran, he fell and stumbled, while the other child, held safe in his father's arms, had the joy of seeing the kite, of reaching out his hand and catching it. And yet he was unhurt. This is the difference between self-effort and self-surrender. Nowhere can we read anywhere of such complete surrender to God as Papa had. He qualified in another way, because it said in the Bible, "He who leaves father, mother, husband, wife, or children, for my name's sake shall have life everlasting." And this he also did. He said, surrendered all. He gave up everything in order that he might seek God. Now there are some who feel that self-surrender means to sit with one's hands folded and leave all things to God. He is supposed to think for us, act for us, speak for us. And in one sense, he does. But to think, pardon, that he will do this without any effort on our part is a complete mistake, because we must strive our utmost to do our part, to learn everything that we should learn, to do everything that we should do. But we must listen to his voice as we do these things. "I will reason, I will, I will act, but guide thou my reason, will, and activity to the thing which I should do." Papa made the statement once when we asked him what we should do, "Do nothing." And by that he meant that the ego, the little self, should be still, while the greater self, that self within us which is God, should take over and do all of the work. There is no difference, absolutely no difference, between the universal I and the individual I within each individual. There is absolutely no difference. God, the author of the universe, is in every atom of space. Man, in his searching and his seeking, goes everywhere, to everything, to everyone outside of himself, always reaching out for the light. He raises his eyes to the heavens and he looks at the sun, the star, the moon, and he seeks for his inspiration there. He remembers his separation from God and he wants to become one with his source again. He wants it with everything that is in him. And having searched everywhere outside of himself, having gone through all the trials and vicissitudes of life, he is led finally to find that light within himself. He finds himself many times in a wilderness. And this wilderness is thick with undergrown brushes, weeds, stickers, thorns. But if he will listen quietly, he will find there the silence of his own soul. He has been listening to the voices of the world, and these voices have filled his ears. The sights of the world have filled his eyes. And now he is alone in the wilderness. But if he only knew it, it is in that silence that he hears the greatest voice of all, the voice of God. Joel Goldsmith wrote a book called The Thunder of Silence. And this book described his experience while in the silence of his own soul in meditation. We too can find this oneness with God in the silence of our own soul. It is said that when you plant one seed in the ground, there's a thousand spring up for it. And so it is with each seed of spirit that is planted within you. You reach out everywhere. But when you have gone within yourself, when you have gone into that silence of your soul, you come in contact with that one source, that light of your own being, which directs you everywhere outside. When you come down out of that state, then you learn from everyone you meet, from every experience of life, from every book you read, from every little thing that happens, from the tiniest child to even the appearance of a leaf on a tree or a flower on its stem. Do you feel in darkness? Do you really feel that your soul is in darkness, that there is nowhere to turn? Then it is in that darkness that the greatest light is found. Because don't forget that the rays beam down from the sun and they shine in that darkness. And there is an eerie beauty there, the stillness that you find not in the sunlight. It is said that man cannot live without the sun, that nothing can be nourished without the rays from the sun. And so it is, because without this sun, which shines on everything and everyone equally, we would have no life. We would have no grass, no food, nothing to sustain us in the form in which we find ourselves, and we would die. And it is so with the Son of God, which is within everyone's being. This thousand-petal lotus of the brain contains the light of our own particular world, and that sun shines eternally. It is said that the Divine Mother exists only to serve all of her children. Because she is the mother, she reigns over all. But because she reigns over all, she is their servant. She never criticizes nor censures. She never judges. She gives of everything she has, expecting nothing in return. She is there in the darkest hour of need, always loving, giving, shedding light, and turning every single thing which seems to be wrong into something which is good, that which purifies, that which enlightens man and perfects him. And she does this as a flower opens its petals into the sun, expecting nothing in return, but only the privilege of loving, the privilege of giving. And it was so that Papa lived, like a child. God was his master, his beloved wrath. You know, we think that we give of our hearts to God, and yet how little we give in comparison to the great ones. What are our sorrows, our vicissitudes, our sufferings, our wants, our petty trials and tribulations, compared with the grandeur and the glory of the love of God, which these things bring to us because of the suffering which they take us through and the purification which they bring to our souls? Papa stripped me of all of the things of the human in order that he might show me the truth of my soul. And I have thought many times lately of what a tremendous service he did me. But for him, I could not sit here and tell you the truth of the cross, the way of the cross and the Christ as I have experienced it within myself, because he had the courage to hurt me physically, mentally, to put me through the greatest of tortures in order that I might find the joy of God and the truth of being. There can be no greater love than this for any man. No greater love. Do you not see this? That somebody who comes and pats you on the shoulder and tells you how wonderful you are, who listens to all of your woes and helps you to get your equilibrium again in the ego, is doing you a very small service. But the one who has the courage to strip you of everything and make you face yourself in all of your nakedness is the one who loves you the most, who refuses to cater to your whims, but who has the courage to discipline you so that you might find God in your own soul. Do you not see how great the love is of that one for you? It is absolutely tremendous. I shall never forget the years since I met Papa. I shall never forget any moment of the time I spent with him. Each moment is burned into my brain, into my heart, and into my soul. I have awakened in the night since I found out that he had passed from his body. And I have wept bitter tears because, in one way, I wanted his physical form to remain upon the earth. Because when one of these great ones passes, it is as though the light has gone from the earth. This seems the way to us in our human consciousness. And yet, in truth, it is not so. Because there is no such thing as death, and such a one is liberated while still in the body. And they but merely drop this garment, that they may follow the will of God, either to become one with him, to rest in the bosom of his infinity, order to take on a new form and come again to inspire and to lift mankind up into the arms of the infinite. We do not know what will happen. We only know that the greatest of lights was among us, and that we who were privileged to cross the path of such a one have been blessed indeed. Papa influenced and touched the lives of thousands all over the earth. He was personal, and yet he was impersonal. He was static, and yet he was dynamic. He left everything to God, everything, even the slightest thought, the slightest thought, the slightest word, the slightest action were all directed by his beloved Brahm, his master, his mother, his beloved. If each of us could attain one smallest part of the glory of God which was within him, how great our lives would be. Do you know what it means to surrender yourself to God completely? How we take up our time with all the little things of life, and how we actually fail to surrender ourselves to the infinite. There was one month that he spent fully in meditation upon God in a cave with almost nothing to eat. He would go around to the villagers and beg enough rice to put in his lotus. And when he had it filled sufficiently, he would take it back and boil just enough to keep his body alive, without salt, without any flavor, without any condiments, and with the clear water which he got from the stream. This was all that he had. And he kept the name of God ever upon his lips. And because he gave himself so completely to God, he became filled with his light. He became filled with his bliss. When he finally left the cave, he came across a man, and he ran up to him and threw his arms around him, and he said, "Oh, you are he, my beloved." And the man was naturally frightened. He didn't know what in the world was happening, but later he understood, because Ram Dass saw God every place, in everyone. It is said that when an individual arrives at the stage where he can see God in the greatest knave, the greatest criminal, and see that shining light in that one, and say to him, "Oh, I see you there, my beloved. You are only he coming to test me, to tempt me in this form." That one is truly near his liberation. There's another story told in India about a guru who had a disciple. This disciple wanted the guru to show him God in the worst way, and he begged him each day to do so. Finally, the guru acceded to his request, and he said, "Come with me, my son, and I will show you how to attain God." So he took him down to the Ganges, and they waded into the sacred river. And then the guru took the disciple's head and held it underwater for a few seconds. And when he released him, he said, "My son, what was your experience as I held your head underwater?" "Oh, my Lord," he said, "I thought I should die." He said, "I could not get my breath. I lost my breath." And he said to him, "My son, when you die like that for God, when your desire for God is like your desire for breath, then you will attain him. When you completely surrender yourself, every thought, every word, every action, to God alone, then he will come to you. Then he will fill you with his light, with his love, with his wisdom, with his bliss, and not before." Why do we not make the effort? When we see a life such as Papa's, such as our own master's, such as that of the Christ and all the great ones, those who have surrendered everything, to go to God and to lift all others to Him also. What a tremendous inspiration this is. What have they lost? What have they lost? It is said that when you are impoverished, that you are in a great state of plenitude. Because only when you have lost everything are you in a state where you have everything. Do you not realize this? When you have lost all of the things of the world, when you have seemed to fail, when it seems that no one loves you, when it seems that everyone, everything is against you, that there is nothing left, and you are in a state of complete darkness, then indeed do you have everything, because you have lost all of the things of the world, and you are ready to experience the divine experience of your oneness with God. This is what it means to be poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit. Because when it seems as though the spirit has left you, that is when the light of God shines most greatly upon you. There is nothing but that one. I wish I could reach out and touch each one of you and give you the desire, the love, the worship, the devotion for God, that you would have nothing in your hearts but that, that you would wish to kneel at His lotus feet and place your head upon those feet and give of yourself in full measure, asking nothing in return but the privilege of loving Him, of worshiping Him. And that is the privilege. He is your very self, as Papa said many times. Your very self. There is none but He. I searched everywhere, and I found Him within myself. There are so many who put such consciousness upon the body, all of its ailments, but they do not know, they do not realize that in truth they are not the body. They are the eternal life, the eternal spirit. And if they would give up but the thought of the body, they would find this oneness with the Beloved. There would be no sense of separation. And in that oneness, they would find a new body in Christ. Do you not know that when your consciousness is in God, that you are unconscious of the body, of the mind, that there is nothing but the feeling of your oneness with Him? And through this, that His Spirit flows through you, and the healing takes place, all of these petty ailments, the tiredness, all the troubles, the failures, the problems, that everything disappears in the glory of His presence. Why do we waste our lives thinking of this petty frame, of all of these little problems, when we could live in the wonder, in the bliss that is His? I feel like saying to you, oh my children, go to Him, go to Him. I feel like telling you, I am your mother, and yet I am your child and your servant. I am one with Him, and yet I remain separate from Him in order to take you, to teach you, to inspire you to your oneness with Him. How long must I wait? How long must He wait for all of us to come? I am sure He sheds tears because we punish ourselves so terribly. God never punishes us except through His perfect law. It is we who punish ourselves. It is we who separate ourselves from our good. We can blame no one but ourselves. because it is we who cheat ourselves when we do not do as we should. Let us live the life. Let us eat as we should. Let us think as we should. Let us act only in His name and in His service. Let us surrender ourselves. Just throw away, just for once and for all, the thought of this separation, of the littleness that we have within us. Let us give everything of ourselves, good and bad, to God, so that He may give us this light, this joy, and fill us with the glory of His presence, with His love. Let us throw ourselves into the ocean of bliss, into the ocean of oneness. Don't forget that the ocean is never still, and that we are a wave in the bosom of God. And as such, we will always be that wave, that individual consciousness, when we are active. And yet if we go deep in that ocean, down into its stillness, then we are one with Him, and there is no difference, no separation. What are we afraid of losing? Why are we afraid of losing our identity when we could become that which is the essence of everything, the essence of all, the eternal source, the eternal cause, that which was, which is, and which always will be. Let every sorrow be a wing that takes us soaring into the infinite, because so it does. Welcome everything which hurts as well as that which gives us joy, because it is that which will take us to God, which will make us one day become unaware of anything but Him. Let us feel the peace, the bliss in our souls. Let us feel our oneness with Papa's Spirit, because that Spirit was so great in God that there was no difference, no difference at all. Let us sit as His children at His feet, and be filled with joy at His passing. And let us pray for all of those of us who are left, that we may be filled with the same Spirit as He Himself was filled with, and that those who are to succeed Him will be given the strength and the inspiration and the light to carry on that which He started. All paths led to Papa. Remember that He never took initiation from anybody but God. He never gave anybody the title of Swami. He was too humble, too childlike, too surrendered to God to do this. He saw no difference in any creed. All were welcome at His feet, to worship His beloved Father God, His beloved Ra. What a tremendous thing. No matter who the guru was, what the faith was, what the denomination, somehow all were attracted to Him. Why? Because of the tremendous love of God which He poured forth equally upon all. This is what drew them, this power of love. There was no backbiting, no proselyting. I remember how many times that he wrote, or that he put in the magazine at my request, things that my own master, my own guru had written. What universality! What universality! All were welcome. Everyone wrote whatever they felt about God, and it was published in his little magazine called The Vision. How many do that? How many do that? To him the world was God, and God was equally present everywhere. And he knew that each one took that which was his own. He followed that path, that way, that guru, which he himself was ready for. But that one was welcome, just as welcome to Papa as all the rest. He talked about all paths, all faiths, all masters, and they were all expressions of the infinite beloved. All of us could pattern our lives after him. He gave me a sense of universality, a knowledge that God was equally present, that his hand was working everywhere. He said to me one time, "You know, when you get up there, you will not know the difference between good and evil." I am still aware, and yet I am not aware. Because I see God working in every way, through every expression, even through that which seems to be evil, because ultimately, through the sorrow and the suffering it causes, it results in good. Let us lift our hearts and our minds to God and keep them there. Let us worship him forever. Become one with him. Become one with him. What bliss, what wonder, what glory it is to be one with the Father. May God forever bless Papa for all that he's done for all of us. Because there is not one in this room, nor one of those in the world whom he has touched, who has not been influenced in some way for good and for God. So let us offer up the gratitude of our hearts and our worship to God in him, and hold his memory forever sacred. May his blessings be upon us all. Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence
in every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant. My human light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever
upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.